All right. Hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay. See ya. God damn. That reminds me. I got to get Josh in here again. Now, Josh is, his life has been turned upside down since he started working for the Red Wings. I mean, in a good way. He started working for the Red Wings in the stands, you know, like, hey, we're on section 110 with Jenny. She's going to play the Guess the Puck Challenge. You know, this is like during a timeout, one of those deals. And he's doing great. Well, Ilitch Holdings, you know, it's all owned by the Ilitches. They see Josh and like, God damn, he's good. So they said, hey, do you want to be the PA announcer for the Detroit Tigers? And he's like, well, God damn, of course I want to be are you crazy? So he started doing it right during this run. And I don't know if he does all the games, but he should. And he's just killing it. It's a fucking, I'm so proud of him. He sees me calling in and he's like, I know what he's going to want to talk about. Come on, Josh, don't let me down. I just said, don't let me down. And Nick writes, what is your worst screw up over the PA?
Hi, this is Josh. Leave me a message.
Other than don't let me down, man. Referring to, that wasn't a screw up. That was a fucking great thing. Chris says, and he filled in for me doing the Michigan Rangers FC game. Yes, he's awesome. That wasn't a screw up when I said, don't let me down, man. That was awesome. That's the greatest hockey fight that has ever existed. The only bad thing about that was Ben Simon, that fucking dick. He made that horrible. Wasn't my fault. It's not my fault his team got the shit kicked out of him. He's a fucking dick. I hate that guy. Worst screw up over the PA. I don't know. I can't think of, I think I'm pretty fucking stellar at that job. I'm really good at it. In fact, there's no one better than me. All right. I am absolutely, oh, Code Brown in my white pants. Yeah, but that wasn't a screw up on the PA. I just shit my pants. There was one time, I will say this, and these will probably come back into my brain the more I talk about them. NHL coach Barry Trotz got pissed off at me. And I can't remember if he was... The Milwaukee Admirals were in town. All right? And it was like a playoff game. And they are the minor league affiliate for the Nashville Predators. And he was at Van Andel Arena to watch his, thank you, that's it, the guy on the Zamboni. I think you know the story that I'm going to talk about. Because that's what I was just starting to talk about. Are you talking about the kid who had Down syndrome on the Zamboni? Is that it? Because that's what I'm going to tell. There's a kid on the Zamboni, and I can't see far across the ice. I just see it's okay. We give Zamboni rides to fans. And so you got the guy who's driving the Zamboni doing his job, and in the seat next to him is a fan every intermission. Well, this one guy is just fucking moving his arms and just acting like he's crazy. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's his problem? Oh, Jesus. Oh, he looks special or something like that. I said something horrible. I don't think I said that. I might have said special, but it turns out that he actually was. Like, he was a, as he came around, I could see by appearance, this is a person with Down syndrome. So it seemed like I was mocking him. And, well, it sounded like it for sure. But then I'm like, uh-oh, I better tone it. And then I remember the guy, hey, yeah, EZ, that's a Down syndrome person. You might want to fucking leave him alone. Well, Barry Trotz, the coach of the Predators, was in the building, and he has a son who's got Down syndrome. It was either that or that was his son. No, it was his son has Down syndrome. And so he got offended on the kid's behalf, and this fucking went all the way up the flagpole. Somebody got their ass handed to him, and then it came back down to me. And then I was like, well, sorry. Okay, my bad. Chris says, what about the misgender at the auction? Oh, my God. Fucking shit. Fucking great, though. Auctioning off jerseys. Tyler says, I remember you telling the story on the radio, and some dude was telling you, Zane, he's mimarted. Stop. Yes. All true. This all happened. That was a bad one. This was bad, too. I'm standing in front of 300 people doing an auction. Jersey auction. Okay, this so-and-so jersey. Oh, 300, 350, 360. Okay, this person got a... Oh, and now we got a person in the back of the room who's bidding $400 to the man. And then now to you, $450 to the lady in front. Man in the back, $500. Lady in front, $550. Man in the back, $600. Going once, going twice. Sold to the man in the back. So, dude comes walking up. And it's a chick, but it looks like a dude. So, and she says, I'm a girl! Comes right up to the front. And I'm like, ah. And I'm like, okay. So I don't remember what I did. It's all a blur at that point, but that's what she said. Now, I can only guess she is a lesbian who is, you know, when it, like with Ash does, looks like a dude even before gender reassigning. And would love nothing more if Ash was referred to as a dude. I guess everybody's different because this person wanted to be referred to as a girl. But, I mean, wearing the fucking Timberlands, the fucking work pants, the hockey jersey. She's fat as fuck. Her hair looks like mine. No makeup. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm so sorry. Just tough to deal with. So at that point, I still see that person from time to time, and I now do not refer to gender. Because of that, there's no gender describing at all. I'm always going like red shirt, white hat. Sold to the big burly man in the back, Tyler writes. You're so big. You are big, my man. I'm not sure this jersey will fit you. Chris says, didn't you have to sing the national anthem at a hockey game before? I did. And I even said, ladies and gentlemen, please stand for our national anthem. The anthem will be sung by me. That's what I actually said. And then I got up, walked out of the box, stood on the ice, spot lit, all the lights off, and sang the fucking anthem. Because the dumb fuck, whoever it was not there to sing it. And we did not have a backup version, just an audio instrument version, instrumental version. Embarrassing. If I ever was faced with that again, I would just sing the first couple words and get everybody to sing along with me, and then they sing it. You know, you see those videos from time to time. Joe writes, remember when that lady screamed at me? Yes, I do remember that. I forget why. I think because you were outbidding her or something like that. You were like, you went in there on a mission to get a jersey. And she was screaming at you. You should have said, called her one of the nasty things that you tried to teach me how to say. Corey says, why didn't you play it on your phone and put it near the mic? We did not have cell phones then. That was not a thing. The internet was barely around when this happened. Hard to imagine a world when you can't do that. Speaking of gender, seismic implications for a fired teacher who has won a lawsuit after refusing to use the student's pronouns. Quote, we're grateful that because of this decision, tolerance is now a two-way street, not a one-way ratchet for totalitarian ideology. Mother sued and won against the school district.
Get more from your tax.
Because they refused to follow her request that they refer to her daughter by her given name and pronouns. Tammy Fournier said she and her husband. I'm actually going to play this, her interview right here. At least part of it. I don't know if I'll get to the whole thing. Now I don't think I'll get to any of it because
my plan.
It's Kamala Harris. I think that was a commercial, and I don't want to play a goddamn political ad. This is horrible. This is just stupid. An attorney who recently won a case involving a Virginia school board firing a teacher for refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns. So basically, the kid was like, all right, I want to be known as he. And she's like, well, no, but you're a she. And she won that lawsuit. God, I don't know if I'd be able to. I would just be like, God, it's such a pain in the ass. I don't.
Started experiencing some pretty severe depression and anxiety. While trying to find her help because it was just difficult at that time. Because there was more need for help than help available. She spiraled into thinking that she was having some gender dysphoria issues and that she was a boy. During this time, my husband and I did our own research to find out what was in the best interest of our daughter, and we decided that we weren't going to follow the affirmative care model. We informed the school district of that when she returned to school, that they should use her birth name and gender. We are looking into her mental health issues, but we're not rushing in to make any decision. At that point, they informed us that they're an advocate of the child and not of the parent, and she will be returning to school.
Okay. I think I misunderstood this. Matt wrote, way to prepare free beer, and you're absolutely right. That is 100% accurate. Mom and dad sued and won. I thought I was a teacher. God, I feel like an idiot. And they're like, no, 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 no. You will not refer to her what she wants to be referred to as. You'll refer to her by what we are telling you to.
Pronouns and names she chooses. And at that point, I immediately removed her from the district.
I think Tammy's story powerfully illustrates why it's so important that parents need to be involved. Part of our job as parents is to protect our children from themselves. Sometimes kids sometimes have desires that aren't in their best interests. And a parent's job is to help their children navigate those difficult decisions.
Now, I don't know necessarily if the parents are right. I mean, if a kid wants to be referred to, let's say it's a girl and wants to be referred to as a boy. I don't know if that's the right. I mean, I don't know if I would do that. Like if my daughter, if Madison said, I want to be a boy. And she went to school and said, I want to be a boy. And I said, no, 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 you're going to, I wouldn't say, no, 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 you're going to be referred to as a girl. I just wouldn't do it. But I don't think necessarily that these parents are wrong. You know, it's their decision. I think they're making the wrong decision. You know, but they got to live with it. I don't think the school and the kid can trump mom and dad, is what I'm telling you. I think that that's the way it needs to be. Tofa says, I'll bet 10 bucks that they aren't right. Then he says she blamed mental health because she wanted to be referred to as a he. Kenny says, how old is the child? I think that should be taken into consideration personally. Tofus adds, that's the only time the right believes in mental health. That kid will just grow up to hate her mom and dad. Probably. But that's their problem, right? I don't know if the school needs to be in the business of all of this shit. I just want them to teach my kids, frankly. I don't think it says the age of the kid on here. An attorney who recently won a case involving a Virginia school board firing a teacher for referring to use students' preferred pronouns told Fox News Digital that the settlement has seismic implications. The Virginia-based West Point School Board agreed to pay a former high school teacher, Peter Vlaming, $575,000 in damages and attorney fees after he refused to call a transgender student by their preferred pronouns. Now, I think that's bullshit. Because if the kid, let's say the kid and the mom and the dad are all on the same page, and the kid is not comfortable with the gender and is changing the gender, I think that it's up to the teacher to respect that and honor that. I don't think that that they should decide, yeah, well, fuck you. You don't look like a chick to me. Go fuck yourself. I'm referring to you as a dude or a chick or whatever. I don't get that at all. You know? Kenny says, if it's anything but a high school, that's a tough call, in my humble opinion. Well, yeah, but again, it has to be between the mom and the dad and the kid. Tofus says that guy got paid for being a piece of shit and taxpayers flipped the bill. Yeah, when it falls into the hands of a judge or a jury, oh boy, you are rolling the dice. There's a lot that can, it's all a big wild card. All an unknown, very difficult. I just wish that, you know, because I've got friends who've got transgender kids, and obviously I know Ash's mother, and the consensus that I've been able to come up with these parents who have transgender kids, they all get to a point where they just go, fuck it. No big deal. If they're happy, I'm happy. I don't think everybody has that happen. There are some people who go, you're dead. You're not my daughter. I hate you forever. And then usually the kid does something horrible. Suicide rate is through the roof for that child. And then you look at the other child that does not have, actually has parents that go, wow, okay, well, okay, let's give us a little bit of, you know, a little leeway in working with this through, but we support you and love you, and we're here for you, whatever you decide. That becomes a healthy relationship, and the child prospers. And then the one that doesn't is the one that has to deal with the fucking psychopath parents. Like, oh my God, they're going to pray it out of you or some shit like that. I'll never forget Maddie. I'm so lucky. It was all about the pause. If any of you ever deal with this, any of you people with kids that are not even with kids, some people come out of the closet late in life. If someone who loves you confides in you and tells you that they're gay or they want to change your gender, whatever you do, don't pause. Surprise the shit out of them. Prepare yourself. Practice this like when you're mowing the lawn. How you react to something as heavy as that. And I responded in a way that blew Madison's mind because she's, and I gotta talk to you then. Oh my God. What is it, honey?
Oh, you're gonna hate me forever. Oh my God.
She's crying. I go, well, what is it? Did you hurt? Did you break the car? Did you crash a car? Did you burn the house down? What's happening?
I'm gay.
And I go, oh, well, cool. Is that it?
What?
Is that it? Is there anything, or did something bad happen?
Oh, God.
I go, all right. I got to get back to podcasting. I'll call you later, but that's totally cool. I don't care.
You don't care?
No. Oh. Okay, well, thanks. I love you, Dad. I love you, too. Have a nice day, honey. I'll talk to you later on. Okay, bye. I really feel for those kids who, you know, say that, and the mom and dad go, we hate you. We cast thee out in the name of the Lord. Oh, my God. Assholes. Chris says, and to think Maddie's crying fits all stems from a missing DS case.
I gotta get that clip, goddammit. All right, I gotta charge this iPad. It's gonna take me a minute in order to get it up and running, but we gotta hear that. You're right, this all does stem from that. Daddy!
What, honey? Kenny writes, you chose love instead of hate. So hard for so many people to do that. Yeah, I'm a lover, okay? Everybody knows that. The only time I don't love is when I hate, okay? Now, I know that that's pretty profound, but I love, and I think it's written in the Bible. It says, love until it hurts, until you need to hate. It might not say it quite like that, but I'm pretty sure that's on par. That's like an accurate thing. Love till it hurts, and then hate.
Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay.
Okay, you can hear it, but I can't.
Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay.
Why can't I hear that? I don't know. Is it maybe here?
Just want to take a quick moment to say that
I don't know why I can't hear that. I know you can hear it.
Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay.
I know I keep playing the same clip over and over again.
Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay.
Corey says there's like 2,000 different versions of the Bible. It's probably in one of them. All right, I'm going to have to come back to my clip. Tophus says, my brother-in-law is in the closet and he's 55. I tried to tell him that if he came out, that there are people that will support him. He keeps denying that he's gay, though. He's miserable and suicidal and refuses to confront his issues. Did I say brother-in-law? It's your brother. My mother hates gay people, and she is the core of this issue. Fuck her. I am so sorry about that. That breaks my heart. I don't like that at all. I don't like your mother. Tyler writes, one of the great philosophers of our time is Aristotle. Quote, the only time I don't love is when I hate. Tophus says she's like Livia from The Sopranos. Is that Tony's mother? Tell your brother that he's getting a dad hug from me. Of course, I'm like the same age as he is, virtually. I will say this. When you think about all of the people that are coming out now and how young people are changing their gender a lot, and a lot of people like, well, this wasn't like that 20, 30 years ago. There's a lot more of them now. That is not true. They were there then too, but they were frightened to death that they would be killed or beaten or humiliated or hated or kicked out of the house. So it's all been the same. Just the world's changed. Well, maybe. Or they've gotten, the people who have come out have become more bold. I don't know what came first, the more accepting or the boldness, but somehow those people are more out in front of the world. And then you have that variable happening by these, I would call them pioneers, who have done this on their own for their own sake at great risk to their well-being and health and their livelihoods. And so that's basically my sentiment on all of that. And but you still have the pockets of people that exist in the world that hate them just for who they are, which is so this allows people who aren't like black to experience what black people have always experienced, except now it's a little bit different. But because of Trump, it's acceptable to, in public, hate on these people and nobody bats an eye. So like my neighbor, I'm not saying which one, but my neighbor might bust out some type of slur and it's accepted. And it'd be weird if I said anything like, hey, that's out of line. It is. So that's why I said to Madison and Ash, I go, you are hated right now. And you better keep your head on a swivel. Your head's on a swivel because somebody wants to hurt you. Nick says, then there's my parents out there orgying and shit. That's right. You did share that. Can you give me a quick overview on that again, Nick, in the arena that your mom and dad are into giant orgies with each other? Doesn't your dad like bounce his dick off another guy? Yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that. Corey says, huh? Yeah, it's true. Nick in the arena, his mom and dad have a big group sex party like every other day or some shit. God damn. Adam says, I had a friend who died of AIDS last year who was disowned by his parents for years. A year after his death, his father is still doubling down on the evils of homosexuality on Facebook. Megan says, the idea of orgies is so awkward to me. How do they start and when is it over? That's interesting. Who knows what it's like? I mean, a video is a video, but I mean, you're talking about like an actual real one. How do they, is there like, all right, guys, is there like a pep talk like the coach gives them beforehand, or does it just suddenly just people start porking? Nick writes, yeah, I was back in high school when they sat all the kids down and gave us the rundown of the swinging. That's right. I remember you were with like the kids of the other couple. And they would like send you off on your way, and you guys were figuring it out that something was going on. Oh, shit. All right, let me back up here. We kind of just stumbled into this unbelievable conversation. It's a spectacular conversation. Sorry. All these text messages are rolling in. Your mom sounds like a dumb twat. The gay people were always there, Tophus said. Corey agrees. Corey says it takes more bold people to get people to be more accepting. Maybe, maybe not. I was talking with somebody about this the other day. You know how like racist it was in the South back when slavery was going on, and you think about the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. It's less racist as each year passes, as some people die. People that are born that replace them aren't tricked into being racist as regularly as they used to be. So the teachers of racism die out. That's how it leaves. Now, we kind of have gone backwards to some degree with Trump, but at the same time, over the years, more and more of these people who hate will just die and they won't be replaced. And so you look a century down the road and it's, you know, more of a possibility to have an accepting world. Hey, everybody, Joe Pellizzi, to talk about one of my amazing partners, Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile's done it right, you know. If you're like a sucker who's trapped paying tons of money to big wireless, it's time to end that cycle. You see, with big wireless, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. I've seen this happen so many times, especially with Pooh Bear, when she breaks her phone and gets a new one. Oh, yeah, it's only going to cost me this much. And get home, and it's a complete disaster. I need, a personal loan to pay the bill. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about the gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. Okay. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans. I do this, and you should too. My bill went from astronomical to $15 a month for my phone. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. The game is up for big wireless. We are on to you. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. That's mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Zane. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower over 40 gig on unlimited plan, but you'll be fine. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Matt writes, enough of this interesting and entertaining content. Tell me when to wash my clothes. And again, these are all my dumb opinions. So if you can relate, great. If not, I don't care. Doesn't matter. All right.
A new update in the deaths of 3 men.
I do want to get to that. The Faster Horses Festival happened in Brooklyn, Michigan. This event happened in 2021.
A new update in the deaths of 3.
Three guys were in a trailer. You know, you bring your camper to see the show. And they had the generator on. And when you, you know, there's a sign there. It says, be careful when you have the generator on. If your windows are open. If your windows are open, there is a high possibility that the carbon monoxide can get into the coach and build up and kill you, especially if you're sleeping. Now, if you have a window open, that increases your chances dramatically. The window's closed, pretty hard to get to have that happen unless there's a malfunction. Now, maybe that was the case. I'm not sure exactly. Maybe they'll say in the story. But three guys, you know, the buddies come bang on the trailer. Let's go. We're going to go see another band perform here at Faster Horses all weekend festival, hillbilly shit. And the guys don't come out, and they're dead. The carbon monoxide killed them. So family members sued Live Nation, who puts these events on. And they said, you killed our family members. We are suing the concert and the venue, and all of these artists are getting sued because you killed our three family members with carbon monoxide poisoning. It's your fault that they're dead. And thank God a judge said, fuck you. That is no, you asshole. This is not how the law works. Chris in Buffalo says, if you're stupid enough to sleep next to a generator, you're fucking retarded. All right.
Three men at Faster Horses Music Festival in 2021, a court ruling that concert promoter Live Nation is not liable. Their death was caused by carbon monoxide poisoning from a generator. News 8's Demetrius Sanders joins us in studio live with more on the ruling. Demetrius?
Well, families of the victims, who were all 19 or 20 years old, claim that small campsites at Faster Horses contributed to the deaths of their loved ones. Meanwhile, a state appeal...
Small campsites? So the suggestion would be that the generator is on, but because there's not a lot of space between the trailers, the gas is seeping in. That's ridiculous.
This court recently ruled that Live Nation, who managed the event, is not at fault. Now, Dawson Brown, William Richie Mays, and Cole Sova died inside of a camper at Michigan International Speedway in Brooklyn. Investigators said they were likely asleep when they inhaled carbon monoxide. Authorities adding that a generator's exhaust pipe was...
Look at this guy here. This guy is the average Faster Horses attendee. Barrel-chested, looks like a 1948 strongman. That's how they build them in country music.
Carbon monoxide. Authorities adding that a...
He is a top-performing athlete throwing those cornhole bags.
Generator's exhaust pipe was vented under the trailer, allowing noxious fumes inside. The trailer's carbon monoxide alarm was not working at the time. Now, in their ruling, the court...
Okay, so it's vented poorly. It's vented improperly. They have no CO detector. Let's sue Willie Nelson.
Wrote, quote, Live Nation did not have a common law duty to monitor plaintiff's campsite and discover the risk posed by the generator.
This is the only B-roll they have of this guy throwing cornhole bags. By the way, this chick looks like kind of a babe here in the side.
The court noting that usually campsites in Michigan must be at least 1,200 square feet, but Michigan International Speedway was allowed to use smaller sites if they met certain criteria. The appeals court also said that Live Nation gave
same clip of the guy throwing
information
the
to campers about the use of generators. Now, in a dissenting opinion, one judge said there are questions about whether a person with ordinary intelligence would have recognized the risk created by the generator.
Okay, basically... Let me back that part up.
And one judge said there are questions about whether a person with ordinary intelligence would have recognized the risk created by the generator. She said a jury should make a ruling on the case.
No. I don't know how any judge could dissent. Maybe they did that just because they didn't want somebody to feel bad. That's a no-brainer. These are the same guys who would, fire up the generator in the house if there's a power loss. Tophus says, Someone with common sense should fucking know how to sit and not to sit next to a generator and sleep by it. Cole says they actually had non-ordinary intelligence. Where is Michigan International Speedway in relation to the hard living line? It's quite a bit a ways from it, but you know, you have tertiary lines because it's a NASCAR track that affect that. If you are approaching that speedway and you cross a tertiary hard living line, it will suck the brains right out of you. You will behave like a moron. That is a regular thing. Tyler says bad news if a jury determines someone of common intelligence would know that. Not only do these three family members lose, but then a jury says those three were below common intelligence. LOL. If my son, if someone that I love died in that horrible way, I would be like, oh my God. Are you kidding me? What an asshole. Nick writes, nothing beats live NASCAR just for people watching alone. That's worth repeating, and it's worth telling the story. The two or three times that I was lucky enough to go to Daytona. Oh, my God. I did not watch a fucking bit of that race. I just went to turn three where all these losers stay and... Okay, so we were in the sweet spot where all the fucking RVs are. We got this badass fucking RV, and I remember Joe got so fucked up. He was puking in the bus back to Cocoa Beach because we had to stay there because there was no lodging. He's fucking barfing in a bag on the way back with, oh, God, Jesus Christ, fucking shit. Earlier in the day, we would wander around this turn three and, you know, you it's stereotypical, but I'll never forget the guy who had the SS on his neck and a swastika like on the back of his hand. And he's there and he's got his arm around his chick. And I swear to God, she's pregnant and smoking and drinking. And he's just proudly displaying this Nazi shit. I'm like, wow. Meanwhile, the cars go ripping by. And it's like, Jesus Christ. That was a sight to behold. You're right on the people watching. Ooh. Nick says, I love seeing lobster red sunburnt hill jacks wobbling out of the race. Megan says, Brian and I were camped at a NASCAR race in Tennessee, Bristol Motor Speedway. I've been there many times. Wonderful place. Which is pretty much only, we only camped in fields. My drunk ass was saving lives by telling tenters to move their shit away from the running generators. I'm shocked more people don't die at NASCAR events. That sounds about like something you would do. Show mom Megan. Wonderful human being. Matt describes it as everyone loves watching the fetal alcohol syndrome car races. I cannot support that joke. See, Stevie describes Megan as even helpful when she's shit-faced. Oh, I can imagine that. Helpful, but annoying AF when she's drunk. And she has to be. I mean... When she's sober, she reminds me, she's just like a delightful soul, sweet, always upbeat. But I can just imagine her drunk, just like relentless, you know? She says spot on. I knew it. I've never seen her intoxicated, but I don't think I've seen any of you intoxicated. No, I've heard Stevie intoxicated. Again, I don't have the clip in front of me. I do, but I don't have it. Hooked up right. I'm doing something wrong. All right. brutal details on the latest football player accused of beating the shit out of a chick. His name is Jabril Peppers. This is him. Looks pretty intimidating to me. He's been kind of injured, so he hasn't played. He's on the New England Patriots. He's the captain of the team. He and the girlfriend. He's 29. According to police, it was reported he hit her, he choked her, removed her clothing, and put her outside, according to an incident report by the Braintree Police Department. The victim told the police Peppers put his hands around her neck, slammed her head into a wall, and threw her down the stairs. The attorney for the football player says, no, that is not true. The player, Jabril Peppers, pleaded not guilty during an arraignment on Monday. Hold on a second. Claiming they had video and other evidence that sheds real doubt on the allegation. Quote, what I said in the courtroom, I'll repeat, that we have evidence that completely contradicts the alleged victim's story, and I expect my client to be fully exonerated. The attorney, Mark Brofsky, said, I know what you're thinking. As soon as you hear about the football player, You right away, you always believe the chick, always. Well, in any instance of abuse, I pretty much always believe the chick, right to start. But then I hear that statement, and I'm like, okay, well, again, I believe the chick. It's probably true, but that doesn't mean shit. Let's see how it plays out. I don't think that makes me wrong in doing that. I just tend to always go this way. I am not a, well, we got to hear both sides before we figure out what's happening. I'm not going to do that. This is not court. This is just my brain. There have been instances where people are exonerated and they didn't do it. And if that happens, I take it as it comes. But I tend to always, always, 10 out of 10 times, believe the woman or the person who was hurt. Peppers was charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, strangulation, and possession of a Class B substance believed to be cocaine. The victim received treatment at the scene. The Patriots said, we are aware of an incident, but they refrained from additional comment. Yeah, I've always been of the belief that the team needs to go with this allegation. He's not allowed to play until it's taken care of. That should be the first thing that happens. So this is extremely serious. I have yet to mention anything about the Garth Brooks deal. Brooks has had a hairdresser who he had known for some time, who is accusing him of rape, a 2019 incident, and at a hotel. That's about all I know about this. And in this case, Garth says, absolutely not, and I will prove this. I will prove that my word is as good as gold and that I did not do this, and I will resurrect my name with and prove that this did not happen. See. I'm going to get to some of the details of that. Accused of sexual assault and battery. The lawsuit is from a Jane Roe. Now, he said that she was trying to extort him, and he countersued under a John Doe to keep it low-key for everybody involved. This is his words. And like she was constantly, according to him, suggesting you pay me money and this goes away. So he felt like he was being extorted. So he tried to stop that by filing suit himself. And then the next thing you know, you hear about this. Okay. It was filed Thursday of last week. 2019, this happened as indicated. Rape by Brooks during a work trip. Brooks said, for the last 2 months, I've been hassled to no end with threats, lies, and tragic tales of what my future would be if I did not write a check for many millions of dollars. Now, before I continue on, I will say this. Between Jabril Peppers and Garth Brooks, I'm going to say right now that I think that it's less likely that Brooks did this and more likely Peppers did this. Because athlete and age, too. However, I believe the chick in both of these cases. Garth writes, hush money, no matter how much or how little, is still hush money. In my mind, that means I am admitting to behavior I am incapable of. Ugly acts no human should ever do to another, he added. We filed suit against this person nearly a month ago to speak out against extortion and defamation of character. We filed it anonymously for the sake of the families on both sides. Now, all that there is sounds good. That sounds like an... I think that that statement there is to keep this from blowing up to like a Diddy level. Now, all we need to see is video, though. You get a video like Diddy of beating the shit out of the chick in a hotel and then at all the car... Just like Ray Rice. Nobody gave a shit about Ray Rice until the video hit, the football player, years ago. My God. Corey seems to think that Garth is so far doing better at defending himself than Peppers. Well, I don't know. I mean, Peppers said, I'm innocent, and you'll see video that proves that. That's pretty good, too. Prior to Roe's filing, and as first reported by CNN, an anonymous celebrity plaintiff, now disclosed to be Brooks, had tried to block Roe from publicly repeating her allegations and fiercely denied the claims. Roe began handling hair and makeup services for Brooks in 17, according to her suit, which states she was first hired to do hair and makeup for Trisha Yearwood, Brooks's wife, in 99. So he's known this person for a long time. I cannot get into settlement discussions, but the suggestion made by Brooks that he was unwilling to pay millions is simply not true, said an attorney representing woman. We are very confident in our case, and over time the public will see his true character rather than this highly curated persona. In addition to sexual assault and battery, the suit accuses Brooks of repeatedly exposing his genitals and his buttocks, talking about sex, and sharing sexual fantasies with Roe. Also regularly changing his clothing in front of Roe and sending sexually explicit text messages. Well, goddamn, this is juicy. In her filing, Roe claims that during one alleged incident in 19, when she was at Brooks's home for work, he walked out of the shower naked, grabbed her hands, and forced them onto his genitals while speaking to her with sexually explicit and vulgar language. In another incident in May 19, alleged, the suit says that Brooks raped Roe in a hotel room. during a trip to Los Angeles where Brooks was taping a Grammy tribute performance. According to the suit, Brooks and Rowe traveled to L.A. on Brooks's private jet. Usually there were others on Brooks's private jet, but this time, Ms. Rowe and Brooks were the only two passengers. Once in L.A. at the hotel, Ms. Rowe could not believe that Brooks had booked a hotel suite with one bedroom, and she did not have a separate room. Once they arrived at the hotel suite, Rowe alleges the country singer appeared in the doorway to the bedroom completely naked. She says she felt trapped in the room alone with Brooks. After the alleged rape, Rowe claims that Brooks continued to tell her his sexual fantasies with more frequency and physically groped her. The complaint states Brooks repeated remarks about having a threesome with his wife. God damn. In his complaint as a plaintiff, John Doe, Brooks claims defendant Rowe's attorneys sent him a confidential demand letter alleging sexual misconduct after he declined Rowe's request for salaried employment and medical benefits. We are confident that Brooks will be held accountable for his actions, according to the attorneys for the person suing. We applaud our client's courage in moving forward with her complaint against Garth. I believe Garth Brooks did this. I'm not going to split hairs. I'm not going to say, well, maybe. No, I think Garth Brooks did this. Whenever I hear the specifics, when they get really intricate, okay, and to actually make that, I don't give a shit if she tried to extort him first. Of course, that's what you do. You're supposed to. Can you imagine if you are raped and you have the opportunity to get the money and not have to go through all of this ordeal publicly? That's a win, okay? I don't think that is anything to determine innocence or guilt at all. I think that's just in and of itself the way you do it. Why not? If someone took liberty with you and hurt you, why can't you do the same back to them? In my heart of hearts, I believe that Garth Brooks raped that chick, in my opinion. And he's fucked. I would, okay, if anybody ever accused me of that, holy shit, the key is never, ever, ever be alone with anyone. There must always be someone there. When you are a celebrity of my status, that is a tried and true method to keep yourself safe. That's why whenever I go out in the wild, I always have my entourage with me, to ensure that there are people with me. I can never, ever be alone with any psychopath out in the wild because they're going to accuse me of rape. Corey writes, people thought Cosby was a good guy. Exactly. Okay. So, You get to choose for your asshole of the day either Jabril Peppers or Garth Brooks. Matt says, they can't accuse you easy. Too much audio about your broken pee-pee. This is true. Look, I need to clarify something about my ding-dong. The medicine I take because of my enlarged prostate, this is what's happening. Does two things. Three things. It shrinks my prostate so I can go potty. It diminishes my libido. Not totally. I can still get wound up appropriately, if need be. Boner making is still in full force. I can still get a total rod. The intensity of my special moment is dulled. And there is absolutely no yogurt shooting out of my yogurt cannon. These are all things that are happening to me right now. Linda writes, well, this was an awkward spot to join the live stream. God. This is also something that I don't want to talk about at Bosco's. In fact, I don't want to talk about any of this shit anywhere, ever. I don't want any of you to get the idea that what I talk about here is like something I want to talk about out in the open. I don't want to do that shit. Are you crazy? You get locked up if you talk about this shit out in the open. Chris says, who needed this update? We're all well aware by now, LOL. Idiot. All right. If you have not reached out to Zach Marco at EstateWise to begin planning your trust, I want you to do that. Call or text 616-540-7544 or go online to estatewise.com, estate-wise.com. It's so important for you to start planning your estate for peace of mind. If you have an estate plan, it provides peace of mind knowing that your loved ones will be taken care of after you are gone. It can prevent ugly family disputes and legal battles. You know, when the unhammered nail isn't happy with your choice, well, sorry, it's written down. The importance of protecting your family's future. Estate planning can ensure that the kids, the spouse, other dependents are financially secure, so that your estate doesn't wind up in probate for 2 years while they sort that out. A trust, estate planning, a will, power of attorney takes care of all of that in one shot. The only person you ever need to call for this to start the entire scenario is Zach Marco at EstateWise. Call or text, mention me, and save 15% on your estate planning services. 616-540-7544. 616-540-7544. Matt writes, well, they won't be able to convict you with DNA. You know, if something were to ever happen to Pooh Bear, if I had to meet someone new, I would have to have the awkward conversation. About, I would have to say, I want you to listen to podcast number 1382 at the 2 hour mark. That's me. Honestly, I don't think I'd even bother trying to meet someone new. I'd just move in with the kids, have them take care of me. Finally, today, the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Buy now, refinance later. They will get you into a mortgage quicker than you think. Like, literally, the end of the day, you can be talking about how much money you have to bid on a house. First-time mortgage buyers, or home buyers, I should say, reach out and get the red carpet service with Mario. 231-332-6505. Call and mention me from anywhere in the U.S. And that's the case with a lot of my sponsors. Mario, Zach at EstateWise, Frank Fuss, all these folks are in service industries that can help you no matter where you are. Mario's phone number again is 231-332-6505. Begin the path to home ownership today. Interest rates going down, that's a good thing. Buy now, refinance later with the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Okay, friends. It is time for the asshole of the day brought to you by TC Paintball. Let's see what's going through my mind. I think the asshole of the day, this one hurts because same way it hurt people who loved Bill Cosby, you know, and P. Diddy and Dave Grohl for being an asshole. Whenever you have this type of weird, oddball behavior by people, even if it's alleged, I'm sorry, you got to earn your way back into the good graces of the world. Garth Brooks is your asshole of the day. Easy, how can you do that without even knowing the facts? Don't even... I don't need any facts, goddammit. This isn't a goddamn jury. All right, I'll talk to you on the Patreon. I am going to get a nap. And I am going to... Okay, here's... Hold on a second here. Posting this podcast audio, getting a nap. 2 p.m. is Who Are These Broadcasters with Christian. After that, the Patreon. That's what's happening. Have a good one. Thank you and bye-bye.